like Louis Armstrong. Play the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution. And joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm going all right. And you?
I'm good, thank you. Good, thank you. With us is Jez.
G'day, Solution.
How are you, big man?
I'm good. All good.
Excellent. And with us is the Windsock 2000. How are you, Windsock?
Good, Solution. And you?
I'm good. Now, we did mention something just prior to the podcast, but it's just too much gold to not bring up right now. Little mini intervention. Windsock 2000, you have to shave that mustache. And Jez, do you want to explain why he needs to shave it?
Oh, you're dumping me into it. I mean, it looks a bit sort of Charlie Chaplin-ish or something from this angle, but the explanation that the Windsock gave us was that he's going a little grey on the edges of his mo, and so that it's sort of a bit not quite visible from this angle. It just looks.
Yeah, I think it's
also the back lighting of this room. It's the lighting on my head, and then you can't really see the greyness in the moustache there.
Fuck Charlie Chaplin. You look like you belong on the. On the Nuremberg in 1939. So shave that shit off, mate, is my advice. But anyway, look, moving on.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything has its cycles.
I cannot see that one coming back to the fair. All right. I'm going to be shameless this podcast. So I know I was disappointed with the Langford missing the shot for goal, as everybody was. And I know we drew, but I might be at the risk of being accused of celebrating mediocrity and celebrating 2 points. I reckon that was a great result for Essendon. Not because we got a draw against Collingwood on Anzac Day. It was just another signal to me that we're on the right path and that the Port Adelaide game was the exception that proved the rule, not that Port Adelaide was signifying this, that you know, we're back at square one. We are absolutely on the right path, and I reckon I don't have your bullish view on top four, Jez, but I think we'll finish at a minimum in the eight. I'm declaring it now. Am I shameless? Am I going too early? Who wants to start? Come on, somebody.
We're half a game outside the top four, which is tracking nicely. Courtesy of that draw. What an awesome result, really. I mean, it would have been devastating to lose it, and there's plenty of arguments why we could have won it. But I think, in a sense, the draw is perfect. It means that our shit percentage is less important, and just I think it gives the guys so much belief that they can mix it with the best. I don't think it was a disappointing draw. I think it was just fantastic to get the 2 points. We could easily have lost it. And, I was elated at the end of it, actually.
It was a really strange game to be at, because I think the draw, like, people weren't... I didn't get the feeling that people were disappointed. Like, the game was that damn good that you can't really be upset. Like, the effort, and I'm talking kind of both teams, I thought were incredible at times, and both teams missed chances. I think they probably had a couple more chances at the death than we did. But yeah, it was an awesome game. It was awesome to see so many players play well and play a full game and keep that pressure up the whole time.
Two positives, three positives. Fiona, are you going to round out the loving, or do you have anything negative to throw out there?
No, I'm completely concur with all of you. I think it was I was full of pride. I was so proud of them at the end of the game. It certainly said more about us than it did about Collingwood. These are the premiers. They were coming good at the right time of the season, and well, not necessarily the right time of the season, but they had a good win against Port last week. And yeah.
They're not the team that they were at the start of the year when they were losing.
That's right.
Back to,
their best. No, exactly. So it certainly said more about us, the persistence, it was more about getting overrun but then hanging in there. And it's that word that keeps getting thrown around, that resilience that we just have not seen in an Essendon team for years and years. The capitulation that would have ensued in previous years on a day like today is, like, we all know it too well. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us at the bottom, if we were really in touch with how we were feeling, we're all expecting it to come. And the fact that it didn't, and they hung in there and they were a kick away from actually winning it, I don't feel anything but proud of them. I didn't appreciate how good of a game it was at the time, because it was all a blur and because you're so hyper fixated on the game. But I had friends and family messaging me saying, "Oh my God, that was an incredible game." But it wasn't until I watched the replay that I could appreciate the quality of the game that it was.
Here's some contrast. Like, so last year, I think we were up about 30 odd points going into the last quarter.
Oh God, yeah.
And they were coming pretty hard at the end of the third. And I turned next to the people that I went with. I said, "We're gonna fucking bottle this. Like, we're done. Six goal lead is not enough.
Bottle jobs, as the English say."
That's it. But I didn't feel that this time, even though it was so close and it was so hot the whole time. I thought we legitimately had a chance to win, and we, even when the ball was flicking round, like I trusted in the guys at the back to kind of to nullify the ball and get us back forward line. It's crazy in 1 year that you can go from like that.
I agree. Well, also, like, who's injured for Collingwood? Like, I can name a very classy back defender, half backman, that's going to come back into our team. Also a young star midfielder, and maybe one or two others. Is Collingwood got anyone of note injured? No, they don't.
They're at full strength, yeah.
Yes. Any other general comments? I know, Jez, you flipped this script last week and spoke in generalities prior to giving awards. Anything else you want to mention about the game? There's so much we could go on about. Depends how long we want this podcast to go.
I just wanted to note the for those at the ground, how special is that pre-game Anzac thing, that whole ceremony, and being at the G with, what was it, 93,000 people when they're silent during all that stuff. It's just, if we've got listeners out there who've never been to an Anzac Day game, it's absolutely worth all the hype. You've just got to get there next year, get amongst it. Fiona, did you have a thought about the arms crossed or not crossed at the pre-game? I did think of you during that period.
Socks up, socks down.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, set the scene. What's the theory?
I just loathe when they don't link arms, and especially because Collingwood, they're just so self-aware. They were respectful during the post and the ceremony, and then when the anthem came, they linked arms, and Essendon didn't, and they didn't last year. And I just think, I just hate it. I loathe it. On a day that champions mateship and courage and togetherness, I just think they needed to show the love, basically. It's a personal thing, and I'm aware that it's ridiculous.
You say it's ridiculous, but like I agree with you wholeheartedly. It looks ridiculous when they're all standing there with their hands over their pee-pees instead of just with their arms around each other, just sort of like it happens in most sports around the world. That's what people do at that point. Our team, for some reason, just routinely doesn't.
They do look like this. They're forming the wall in a soccer match. For a free kick. Yeah, I don't disagree. All right. What do we think about our pressure around the ball and tackling? Like, isn't this our trademark now? Like, people mocked the Essendon edge when it was kind of leaked at the start of the year, and there were jokes about Essendon edging and other things like that. There's definitely a brand of footy there that we can, A, be proud of, and B, I reckon opposition teams are going to start thinking, oh, God, we've got Essendon this week. We're in for a tough game, which is what they used to feel like when they were playing us in, for example, year 2000. Not because we win in every game, but we brought the pressure.
I think it's personnel-based as much as it is Brad Scott's instruction. I think unless you have individuals such as Caldwell and Durham in there who just have a refusal to be beaten, but then if they are, the seeking out of redemption, it's infused in their personalities. And so I think if you don't have those individuals in there who chase that, are so hungry for that contest, I just think it doesn't happen. And then what's happened now is the rest of them get on board. So Parrish's pressure and defensive moments were brilliant. Some of his coming off his direct opponent and impacting another contest, I mean, certainly haven't seen that from him this year, but I dare say we didn't see it much last year. So, and Hobbs, as much as, you know, he hospital handballed a few, he followed up and redeemed himself by going harder at the next contest. It becomes addictive and it becomes contagious. And then they all get on board. Martin's really good at it now, and I think Gresham did his bit. Davey will build the more confidence he gets in his body. Cox, like, this shit is, it just infiltrates across the entire board. So, but at the heart of it is Caldwell and Durham for mine, and of course the captain. Let's not go away from the captain. He sets the scene, but he needed mates there.
I'd add McGrath to that core. That core vanguard of that kind of just that desperation and that will to win and refusal to lose. Calders is, for me, I mean, he's just, you know, if you want to see what the Essendon edge looks like, just get old mate Charlie to whack together a video of Calder's game on the weekend on Thursday.
It's just sad that he just does not get the recognition. If you watch him closely, and as you said last week, or I don't know when you said it, Jez, his disposal, like, he's tidied up all facets of his faults. And as I said, and he's a complete player now, like, and even if he fucks one up, he'll just go double harder at the next one. Like, but his kicking has been, his pinpoint passing, he almost concussed Jones with one bullet into the forward 50. Like, yeah, unbelievable. I could not be more impressed by the kid.
Well, this leads us nicely. So I'm going to anoint Fiona, you're going to do the Herd. Winsock 2000, you're going to do the Henneman. Prior to you doing the Henneman, though, I do need to announce a change in Winsock.
Oh no, the legislation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The constitution. Look, the good thing is the Winsock constitution. I mean, we're not a constitutional democracy. We are a People's Republic of Winsock. So I can just make constitutional changes. And the change I'm going to announce is that a sub can now become a Henneman. So just, I repeat, a sub can now become a Henneman. He'll be known, if he wins a Henneman, he's known as subpar. So that's yours, Winsock 2000. Have a think about it. But in terms of Herd, before you get there, Fiona, you give your nominations.
Okay.
But I owe an apology to somebody, and I'll wait for you to mention him, because you may mention him as the Herd, or you may not, because there's a lot of nominees, I'd suggest.
Yeah. I'll preface by saying, had Stringer kicked those two easy ones, he would have been the Herd without fail, and he absolutely should have got the medal. Had he kicked those two easy ones, because his game was also went a little bit underrated, I think, too. He was so good, and he's so, like, the fact that he's up there with the most pressure acts in the forward 50, is that the stat? There's a stat that I saw floating around about he's in the top handful in the league. Anyway.
He's a different player to the guy that walked into the club.
Yeah. And I say bow down to whichever god or higher power you're praying to, Jake, because you've got your you've connected and you're connected to the club and your teammates and all power to you. So I'll give a shout out to him. Obviously, I've
already Alhamdulillah. You go, Jess.
No, I just wanted to add to that Stringer thing. The thing about his game on Thursday, I thought, was just the amount of time he spent in the centre and not just plodding around, but like just taking on De Goey. You're my man.
He embarrassed
Goey on Thursday. The whole game, that was the difference. Like we've seen in previous years, not so much this year, when he'll go and impact for a couple of quarter, or he'll do the first one or quarter or something like that. He was literally in there the whole day. I reckon he was probably second most attendances with Merritt, without looking at stats, Merritt being the most. So, yeah, real role change. And, good to see our coach actually making moves.
I wonder if
that really impact.
Yes. I wonder if that's the extra forward, the extra tall in the forward line effect, just squeezing him out of there and giving him a bit more space, a bit more chance in the centre. It would have to be. That was good. I've already sung the praises of Caldwell. He's right up there. Martin's last quarter was absolutely fucking incredible. Wowee. Wowee is all I can say. His last quarter, incredible.
Well, it's funny you say wowee, because that was, I know a current commentator might be known for that, but I reckon Lou Richards used to say that. And Lou Richards in 1984 said, this is Sheedy's premiership with all these moves he's made. Jez, you're smiling knowingly, and the move to Martin was inspired.
Well, again, they've been listening to you, Solution, because you did start the free Nick Martin.
Freedom man.
A few weeks ago or a month or so ago, and that message has finally got through. When we needed him most, they freed him, and, you know,
he's out on bail.
That's right.
Blow me down, he gets in front of centre, and he suddenly can kick again, and he can...
Mate, the ankle bracelet just made him align properly so he can kick well.
good one.
No, so yeah, he was incredible. Langford, I absolutely still give him an ovation. I thought he was brilliant all day. Kicks that 9 out of 10. Absolutely would trust him to kick that 9 times out of 10. Love that he followed up, that he wouldn't shy away from the moment again.
And both teams kicked poorly. Mychek had opportunities.
And he'd already kicked 2 in the quarter. It's not like he missed all day. Right. Like he played his role. He'd done his job. McGrath was absolutely incredible. And to be honest, I'm tossing up whether I did give the 3 twicks to Merritt, but I could have easily given them to McGrath and 2 twicks to Merritt. So I'm going to that, since I've given Merritt the 3 twicks, I'm going to give the herd to McGrath, with Merritt being a worthy nomination as well. I thought his third quarter in particular, McGrath came out and he had that head full of steam. He meant business, and everything he touched was, I think he was up in, 85% accuracy, disposal accuracy as well. He had a brilliant game. He was accountable. Bobby Hill is on in such good form, and he really... he had a few good moments, because you can't keep him down forever. Very good players, but he did a job on him, while also having real impact and driving his disposal into the forward line. So, Andy, congrats.
I don't think I've ever seen him kick so well.
Yeah,
like his and penetrating kicks. He did the one. He did one. At some stage, the arm's like, fuck, that was a good kick. Who was that? I'm thinking it's Redmond or Martin or something. It's fucking Andy McGrath. And then he backs it up and does it a couple more times. He's let's just hope he keeps playing like that, because we'll go a long way if we find another one. Yeah,
he was so reliable. He was cleaning up, you know, mung possessions from others and mopping up around the ground. And I also, sorry, just a quick, I also just want, not a nomination, but I just want to shout out Draper. He was on a redemption path, and he stepped up. He was, his mind was 100% focused at the MCG, and it has to be, because if 1% of his mind is elsewhere, he does shit like he did last week. He has brain fades. But if, as Solution said, if his 100% effort is there and his 100% mind is on the ground, then he's good for us. If not, he can be a liability. But in fairness to him, he really stood up and redeemed himself.
Yeah, and it showed that all the post-game stuff, like he didn't lose, he hasn't lost sight of what his job is to do. So that was pleasing. I needed to direct my apology, by the way, at Andy McGrath, because I had no idea he could dispose of the ball in that way and he could produce a game like that. I've always admired his effort. I've never blamed him for going number one pick, but I felt that he couldn't produce a game like that. Yeah, very surprising. And if he could do it once, he could do it again.
Anybody else with nominations?
No, I'm glad you mentioned Draper, though, because I gave him the Hinnaman last week, and he wasn't Bog this week, but gee, he improved. That was such a better game. And someone, I can't remember who, one of you's already mentioned Darcy Parrish as well. It had to have been his best game for the year.
Easily.
Pretty critical of him as well, but he was fantastic.
Yep, loved his game. I don't know, maybe he just took some getting used to his new, because he hasn't been, like, with Durham and Caldwell going to more bounces, the chemistry just looked a bit better on Thursday, and I wonder if that's he's just settling into that new rotation mix and getting his head on. Like, the chemistry just flowed in the midfield, and with Stringer going in and out, perhaps that was what Darcy was kind of missing piece for Darcy.
He did have a moment at the start of the fourth. I don't know if you guys saw this at the game, but he ran on and was expecting to be in the starting centre bounce. And lo and behold, all the players are already there for the centre bounce. He's looking around. He's looking at the wings. There's two players on the wings. He goes all the way back to the interchange gate. The only spot is in defence. I think he's thinking, well, fuck, I'm not going back in defence. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it ended up that Cox maybe was on the wing and they switched around. But, yeah, it's a bit of a sketchy start to the fourth. I thought we were in trouble then. But
yeah, I mean, we haven't mentioned it. It was a comeback. I mean, Collingwood looked like they were going to, you know, overrun us, but just a quarter early. And it looked like we'd, you know, gone out of the blocks. And early, but then to fight back like we did in the last quarter, I think, again, it goes back to what I said at the start. This team has heart. This team has fight.
And the second week in a row where we've had to come back from behind two or three times in the game. You know, Adelaide isn't Collingwood, but both games we were headed twice and had to come back. And that's a great sign. I mean, that alone, just that coming back twice in each game is fantastic. Because we all know that the Essendon, even as recent as last year, that wasn't our thing.
It's that ability to withstand the momentum shifts. So when a team, and Adelaide got it last week, as soon as Draper gave away the 50 and then they were off, and it's that ability to either withstand it and just take it for a bit, but then fight back or crumble. And I think we're seeing the Essendon that withstands it and fights. Whereas last year and the Port game, I think we saw the crumble. But again, as I said, after the Port game, you've got to give them a chance to redeem themselves and grow and learn from it. And I think they're building the belief in each other that no one's going to drop their heads, no one's going to go in their shells when that momentum hits, because it will. It'll even hit next week. And I just think it's that ability to, yeah, to hold off and then to hold on, basically.
Yeah, not just in a game, but we'll lose some games, and we'll lose some close games. But I feel like this team will bounce back, whatever negative thing is thrown at them. And speaking of negative things throwing at people, the Henneman Winsock 2000.
Yeah.
Do you need a lot of time, or is this fairly straightforward? Have you been able to process the constitutional change and
calibrate? Surely there's some nominations.
Yeah, I think there's some nominations. So coming in pre-constitutional change, I kind of had one person in mind. And that was Benny Mackay, or McKay, although he didn't have a shocking game all up. I think there were some moments when I was watching the replay in the second quarter, and possibly one in the last as well, where he's got an affinity of marking. He wants to mark the ball, which is good. Like that's a good thing to do. I know he's one of the top intercept players in the comp, but sometimes you've just got to kill the ball and get it to the boundary, get it to the outside. And there was a couple that went over the back, which is what kind of kept them in the game. So yeah, he was a nomination for me.
No, I reckon it's the first time he's kind of lowered his colours.
Yeah. He just made some wrong decisions. That's all it was. And that wasn't by not disposal. His disposal was fine. When he had the ball in hand, couldn't fault him at all. It was, yeah.
And may I say, I had Kangaroos supporters, not touch wood because I don't want to jinx him. I had some Kangaroos supporters saying, like, how many games have you played? Seven? They said he wouldn't play half a dozen games all year, such as his injury history. So, yeah, obviously we're very happy with Big Ben, and this is just a little blip.
Yep. So the other one that was a bit quiet was probably Goldie, although I wouldn't say he was close to winning a Henneman for that. For that effort, I think it was just more of a role change for him, but yeah, wasn't really able to impact around the ground, you know, like you'd like from a ruckman. Possibly because of how fast the game was going. Like it was a hot game, and it's hard for you when you're that big and lumbering around the ground. There was one bloke though who came on. So early in the fourth or late in the third, where young Harrison had fucking smashed his face in and blood was everywhere. That was quite a moment.
Well, he was the sub.
He was the sub. So
okay.
He came on. He came on when Harrison came off with a bloody face and nose. And I'm not sure if he put the wrong boots on or something like that, but it's fuck, he had a moment that probably caused the draw in the end. But if we lost the game, it would have been the absolute moment that everyone would talk about as to losing the game, when he slipped over and led whoever threw for the goal. Other than that, he really didn't have much time to impact the game. Yeah, it was involved in a bit of a passage towards the end where we were trying to search it forward and didn't really go anywhere. But yeah, Nick Hind, I'd say he's our Henneman for this week.
One quarter.
Harsh. But when you slip like that, there's no excuse. It's the MCG. It was a beautiful day. How do you slip that badly? There was no one around him. He had 5 meters of clear space. All he needs to do is body line the ball. You can fumble it and put it out if you'd like.
Mate, it was
ideally.
It was the worst slip. At the risk of making this podcast a little bit sort of soccer heavy, 10 years ago this week, Steven Gerrard slipped and cost Liverpool the the Premier League title, and it was similar to that. It was just like, there he is right on stage. There's Hindy, our boy, fresh legs.
In the perfect spot at the perfect time.
Yep, yep.
And he falls over.
And the Benny Hill aspect of it was that he stayed down. And they showed all these camera angles, and he was still down on the ground, thus like...
Oh,
it wasn't... He wanted to dig a hole and get into it.
Yeah, it wasn't 4:40 at Marvel Stadium, 4:40 on a Sunday against Fremantle when no one's watching. It was...
It's a different stage.
Different stage. The full grand final camera angles were out. And, yeah, we got to see it in all its glory. I think it's a worthy winner. It sounds like you think it's harsh, Fiona.
I do. I think that it was the facing palm emoji on steroids that moment. Like, I died a little bit inside. It just gave such meaning to that emoji. But... I think it's harsh, but I'm also quite understanding. I don't for 1 second think we lost the game or drew the game because of it. But I just think you can't. I just don't think a change in legislation. Maybe it can be awarded to the sub if they come on at halftime or before halftime. But for one quarter, I don't think we can award it.
Sorry, the great leader has spoken. As I said.
Oh, yeah, but you asked my opinion. That's my opinion.
yeah. No, fair enough.
There was also the last 30 seconds of the game where he was in the right place at the right time and took a mark, and then surrounded by two, all he had to do was hold the ball or do something, do anything with it. But he did his little roadrunner shuffle. The umpire called play on. He suddenly's got two Collingwood players all around him. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then he kicks it and like buzzes the kick to Merritt and puts Merritt under enormous pressure. Mm. And I just thought, mate, I'm sorry. You know, you've had your chance and it's just not happening for you.
Can't say he hasn't been given chances to make a good showing.
No, I just think he's a great VFL player, and he'd be great to have in case. But when you've got Sardis getting 39 or whatever he got in the twos, you've got Guelphy on the verge, you've got Dylan Scheel on the verge. I think I think he'll be having a rest pretty soon and taking his award with him.
And to be fair to him, go back to the twos and play four quarters and play run out games and play proper games, not just coming off the bench. And maybe he'll get back to something like the form that saw him be a handy contributor in previous seasons.
I doubt it.
So do I. Oh, sorry, Nick. Sorry, Nick.
That was me.
All right. Moving to any other comments on the game?
I mean, this is why we get shunned. You know that.
This is why we don't get invited to Essendon Media Day. You're right.
And well, not everyone is cut out to be an AFL player. Like, I'm not going to be an AFL player, and neither's he, to be honest. Like, he's a VFL quality. He's a good VFL player.
He's probably
we need good VFL players.
Yeah. Jez.
Yeah, I don't for a second think Alwyn should have got a nomination for the Henneman, but any thoughts on his game? On his game, because I thought he struggled a bit, and everyone's talking about his pressure acts. He didn't lay one tackle. I definitely want him in ahead of Menzies, but yeah, I didn't think it was great. I'm sure he'll learn from playing in front of 100,000 people, but he didn't set me on fire, and he could have been a nom. He could have been a nom.
Fiona's forecast listeners will recall I did say he might be the sitting Joe, and I think I might have got that right, Fiona, because he did lower his level compared to the previous week. Yeah. But he's a project player. He's got enough.
There's some upside talent there. Yeah, I think he got involved in a couple chains at half forward. And
I think it was the half touches to put a player off, and then a Collingwood player would kick it either out of bounds or miss kick it. It's those, whilst the stats don't give you a stat, while he doesn't get gifted a stat for that, it's that little perceived pressure a bit So if so long as he's still doing those things, I'm comfortable, because it's miles above what Mendy was giving us.
Yeah,
Mendy wasn't even doing those. So, I mean, and players like players like Hobbs, Cox and Laverty all did some very good things, but did some very, very bad things as well, which cost goals. Literally directly cost goals. But they also did a lot of good things. So I think those three are saved from nomination. I thought Dersma was a bit more quiet. I noticed he had that knee strapped, which I don't think I'd seen him have in previous weeks. So I'm not sure if that was something he's dealing with. Let's hope not. But I thought he was quite down from his last couple of weeks, but not a nomination, of course.
Cool. Any other comments on the game at all? No? So moving to around the grounds, is there anything of note worth mentioning? I note the Geelong juggernaut continues on. And
What did I say in the forecast? It's just the onus is on parents of newborns to just sign them up to Geelong Kitty Cat memberships. You give your child a happy, happy life.
Become
this
a bomber.
This dynasty, this is just never ending. This is embedded in the furniture. It's embedded in the walls of that place. They are just incredible, an incredible organisation.
Yeah, but you don't remember the John Devine years. It wasn't all beer and Skittles.
Now. It's all undone, and the road is set. My point is, I don't think it can be undone.
Yeah, I reckon it'll catch up with them eventually. But no, you've got to admire. But more importantly, I mean, the reason I bring it up is, of course, Carlton lost, Jez's beloved Carlton, and they're only 2 points ahead of us. So I thought we were in the mud this year and they were going to be challenging for the flag. Come to find out, there's not a lot of difference at this stage of the season. And, I thought that was worth mentioning.
All roads are leading towards the King's Birthday Sunday big clash in about 4 weeks.
God help us.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Now, while you're on around the grounds, the game that caught my imagination was Brisbane. What the hell's going on in Brisbane?
It's an absolute shit show, that club.
Yeah, and Jude's watch.
He's copping it in all the media shows I flicked on this morning.
Usually, with
grass is not so green.
With Judas watches, we'd read them out, but there were actually too many to mention. Like, he seems to be the guy who's getting blamed, but he's on massive money, and he's gone up there to, for whatever reason, get away from the Melbourne media, didn't like Essendon. Apparently, we contributed to his injuries and not being able to rehabilitate earlier and more effectively, despite the fact that, the word on the street was he didn't exactly put his heart and soul into his rehabilitation. And yet I would say we've got an arrow going green and Brisbane have an arrow downwards going red.
They're in all sorts.
Suffering your jocks.
Be fair, GWS look pretty incredible. There's barely a weakness in their list.
Yeah, they are scary. We're not going to win up there again this year, are we? Like, when was the last time we beat GWS in Sydney?
We're actually going to get killed up there.
We're always playing them here.
In a couple of weeks, we're playing them here.
Yeah, but do we not travel? We must travel. We travel everywhere. We must travel to theirs.
Oh, later, maybe. Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Two weeks we're playing them down here.
At Marvel?
In Marvel, yeah.
Oh, I still think we can. What day? Not that it matters.
Saturday afternoon. This time. So 4:35.
I still think we're going to get killed.
Mm.
They are still very, very slick at the moment.
They are, but a lot can happen between then and now. One other thing I wanted to mention was I don't think I've ever seen a player leave an Essendon list. He's like the anti-Judas. He's like Jesus. I guess would be the definition of an anti-Judas. Patrick Voss seems to be loved. And look, very happy to see him doing well. I think anybody that saw him in the VFL knows he tried his guts out, and happy to see him doing well. But just the Essendon supporters that are sort of crying about him leaving, where would he fit in this team? Guess what? He would have been in the twos this week.
He wouldn't be getting a game.
Yeah. No. He would have been in the twos this week.
He didn't. He played okay. He was missing for large portions of the game. Kicked a goal.
I think he was pretty impactful every time. Most of the time it went down there. I was very happy to see him happy. His first goal was very cute. They were all very happy for him. You could say that, but who knows? Maybe they would have played him when Jones got dropped after round one, and maybe he would have made a big impact and wouldn't have got dropped, and Jones would have been in the VFL still. So, you know, you can't turn back time and see what would have happened, but we don't know.
Jez, you loved him, didn't you? You got an opinion?
I was very surprised that he didn't get a game last year. I thought he showed enough to get a game. He wouldn't have got a game in our ones the way we're going at the moment. I think good luck to him. That, you know, he's had an odd background. I don't think wasn't he recruited straight out of a school rather than the under 18s? I think he sort of followed his own path, and I think when he started with us, he was very much a big athlete, more than a footballer, but he's stuck at it, and, you know, great, so long as he doesn't turn into Matt Taberner, John Coleman type situation when we play him.
Coming. I think that's a foregone conclusion, isn't it?
Yeah. Mind you, that's a wide spectrum between Matt Taberner and John Coleman.
Not when we play Essendon.
Not when he plays us.
True. Fuck, that's a good point. And nothing else from around the grounds?
I think the question that everyone's asking, and I think this is flirting with danger, is North Melbourne are so shit that people like, when are they going to actually win a game? But the answer to that is probably against Essendon. So I think people are flirting with danger asking that question.
Have you watched any of their football?
I have. It's just uncompetitive.
Yeah, you need a hobby. I've watched about 5 minutes of it, and that 5 minutes was enough to send me to sleep. They're just terrible.
I watched about a quarter of and a half of the Adelaide game and North the other day, and I mean, Adelaide was just essentially just playing with them, like a cat with a bloody ball. They were just uncompetitive. Is exactly what they were. Solution.
Oh, well, they'll be rattling the tins for a priority draft pick again, I'm sure. Hawthorn aren't much better.
Messiah. Funny that.
No, exactly. All right. Has anyone got a douche or deity this week? Excellent. What have you got, Jez?
Before I do my douche,
I've got a douche nomination too.
I just wanted to. Interested to know. While we're on the topic of douches, whether you've received any correspondence during the week from any of our loyal listeners from the Cobram region, or Baruga region.
Yeah, no. The mayor of Baruga. I've been waiting by the mailbox. I haven't received the key to the city yet, so I can only imagine it's on its way. But I stand by it. You know, Australia's unfriendliest town. No doubt about it. Shocking. Give me your douche nomination, Jez. You can start.
I don't know enough about this topic, but it's not going to stop me. I don't know if anyone on this podcast has ever heard of an organisation called WADA.
Oh, look, it rings a little sort of bell.
Well, this is the SADA's, the governing body that SADA is part of, is it not?
I
think SADA is now, which is now SIA, right?
Yeah, WADA's the national, well, international body.
International body.
And all the different the different country bodies like USADA in the US or USADA, as so, it was known, in Australia.
Which is now, which is now called SEA.
Yeah.
So Sports Integrity Australia.
Thanks for mentioning the war.
Yes, exactly. Pre-COVID, there was a thing involving WADA in our club that resulted in 34 players getting banned for a year or something for not taking any drugs or not failing any drug tests. And I almost can't bring myself to read the stories that are going around now about the 23 Chinese swimmers who all tested positive before the Olympics but were allowed to compete and won medals at the Olympics. I just think, WADA, you're a fucking douche.
Yeah, great douche.
Spot on.
Especially when it's coming from an operation which is not exactly shied away from pushing the edge and going over it many times in the past.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't one athlete going off on their own and doing the wrong thing. It was systematic, which is what Essendon would be accused of anyway. But yeah, I agree. Seems like there's one rule for some and one rule for others. Good douche.
Great douche.
What have you got, Fiona?
I don't think mine's going to be anywhere near as douchey as WADA, but just Collingwood supporters behind us, like three rows behind us, sat there all day, two youngish-type aggro-looking men in Collingwood gear, sat there all day in the Essendon members section and all day just antagonising, calling Merritt a wimp and just antagonising all the supporters around us with just childish aggro bullshit. And so we all sat there all day just trying to ignore it, cheering it. There were babies there. There were kids, little kids there. They were swearing. They were being over the top. And then when finally one guy had the nerve to actually turn around and say, settle down, can you just, like, calm it, one an Essendon supporter, they were on their feet. They charged into the guy's face. It's like two rows behind me and just, like, going at them. And whilst I'm going to, the temptation is to douche them, and they are douche. I'm douching the security because the women were waving over the security who were supposed to be on this straight away, and they just twiddled around. He called down to somebody who casually didn't run. There could have been a punch out. There could have been blows, you know, given, and just casually walked over, was like, oh, what's the issue? And there were women moving out of the aisles with their kids because I was scared. I was scared of the aggression and the violent nature in which these two blokes were carrying on. So I'm douching the security.
Where were you seated?
In the seated. Melbourne seated. That's great English.
Seated.
In the member section, I think it's M15, 16, on the ground. And
Southern stand.
No was idea. It? Absolutely no clue. Opposite end, opposite side of the change. The interchange benches and kind of
stand,
yeah, so near the cheer squad kind of end, but not like a bit closer to the center square. Yeah, and I had a really fearful moment, and I thought to myself, these are the type of guys. These are why I hold my keys in my hand when I walk to my car at night. These are why I don't go running early in the morning, late at night. That aggression and that violence was clear to see, and it was frightening.
Yeah, that's
a douche.
Great douche. I did have an experience or witnessed a similar thing years ago. Same thing, two guys up the back, just being mouthy, carrying on, and there was this guy seated in front of me who turned around and told them in no uncertain terms, pull your head in or he'll pull it in for them. They come charging down, and then he stood up, and this guy was about 6'6". And these two just slinked off, these two young guys. This guy was built like a brick shit house. He didn't need to do anything. He just needed to stand up, and it was beautiful. But, yeah, that's disappointing because normally security guards, like at the cricket, for example, they're they're over the top. Like, they'll kick you out for
looking. Yeah, not a lot. Yeah.
Didn't even call them to move out of the aisle or to come over and have a chat. Nah, just let them sit back down like nothing had happened. Meanwhile, the rest of us just sat there. Well, most of the women, to be honest, just sat there feeling uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, then
I just think the level of, like, it's a football game. Nobody was yelling at you. Nobody attacked you. Why get up and be aggressive and swearing and just aggro? Like, just they were just there to fight, basically. Anyway, let's move on from those douches.
Yeah, well, I think my douche is pretty minor in comparison. I'm douching a guy at the deli this evening at Woolworths. So usually I like to go to the deli at the market, the Preston Market, but I needed some, well, I'll do a salad, so I needed some Greek feta. So I'm lining up at the deli, and there's one poor person behind the counter. There's like three people waiting. And then there's two people, and then there's one person. It's a guy in front of me, and he's got two young kids. And I'll throw this out to the panel here. You tell me if I'm being over the top or not. When you know people are waiting for you, there's no need to taste every little sandwich meat and taste the difference between the champagne ham and the triple smoked ham and the mortadella and then give it to your kid to have a little bit of a taste.
At the supermarket?
At the supermarket, before you decide which sandwich meat you're going to get for your little shit of the primary school kids. This is what this guy was doing. I'm sitting there waiting, but a bit like the security guard at the MCG, I'm not douching this wanker. I'm douching the person behind the counter who should have just said, look, you've tasted four different sandwich meats. Decide which one you're getting. No, I'm not continuing to go to the hot suppressor. You know your five-year-old isn't going to want that anyway. And there's somebody that's been waiting 10 minutes. Take control, man. So I just reckon it's people, selfish people that are not mindful of other people. And he just basically wanted to taste every single fucking sandwich meat in the deli. So, yeah, the guy who was serving is a douche, and the guy who thought he was at a wine tasting in the Yarra Valley was also a douche as well.
I didn't know they did tasting it at Woolies. I know they do it at delicatessens and at proper delis, but people actually ask for tastes at a supermarket?
Like, you don't know what fucking ham tastes like.
That's fucking unbelievable.
It's not like a deli where there's 100 different, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
100 different salamis. It's the fucking this one or that one or the fucking Straz or the Devon or whatever the hell.
Exactly right. It wasn't some highly pungent French cheese that he was looking to taste here. This is a fucking ham. So, douche.
It was some very good douches tonight.
Yeah, I reckon so. Winsock 2000?
No.
I mean, you have a name.
No. Do you want to award the douche to any of those three? You got three nominations here.
Oh, yeah.
I do really hate the sample chases. Like, it's one of my pet peeves.
That's probably the most fickle. And he goes with that one. Okay.
Sample chases is a great way to put them. Yeah.
It shits me. I feel embarrassed even asking if they're offering a sample to actually take the sample.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, yeah.
Sample chasers. You call them sample chasers. I call them fucking morons. very good. Very good. All right. Next week. So, when's the actual game?
Saturday night.
Saturday
night.
It's the Harley Reid Cup.
8:10.
Harley Reid versus the Bombers?
Yeah.
8:10. Okay.
And they just had to rest him this week, you know, just so he's fresh and rearing to go next week for us. They just, yeah, thanks, West Coast.
Yeah, they do fire up against us. I think it's partly the history, back to the scarf waving. There's obviously a great Essendon contingent that lives in Perth, like just like they are all around Australia. So it feels like they get up for this game. I think they will as well. Do we sense any danger at all?
Absolutely.
I absolutely do, yeah. I've seen their last two games, half of today, and I saw the game the week before, and I saw a bit of them against the Swans, and they ain't the Eagles circa 2023. They're a different unit.
So well, I think the main thing is they've got most of their cogs back. Liam Ryan was back today. You know, Elliot Yeo's back to his best. He did one thing today. You're just like, whoa, this pirouette out of the centre. The strength in his hips just reminded me of Job. He just raced out of that centre in one of these contests. And yeah, they just got a bit more fight, I reckon.
So it sounds like everyone's feeling Sartus in. Hind out is the obvious one. Are there any other less obvious ones that we... Are you shaking your head, Fiona? You don't agree?
I'd be saying Guelphy in for Hind.
Okay. Is he fit, Guelphy? Did he play last week?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, no.
Played the full game.
Did he acquit himself well?
Doesn't matter. He just needed to shake some cobwebs off, I think, and make sure that the injury didn't flare up.
He has only played one good game in 3 years.
But he did play good, so he's earned the right to back it up.
One more than Hind.
Oh, this is going to get worse for poor old Nick because we haven't got to the song of the week yet. what do you think, Jez? Do you find a place for Sardis, and if so, who is it? Who's going out?
Well, if there's no injuries, then Sardis for Hind is the move, I reckon. I saw who did we have out at the VFL? The correspondent went to the VFL. I think he reported back that Guelphy wasn't setting the world on fire, but I mean he was there. He got through the game, and our VFL has a bye again this week. So anyone who doesn't play this week isn't going to play. Sorry, anyone who doesn't get a game in the ones isn't going to play at all. So
ridiculous.
I don't know if that makes any difference to anything, but. I think Sardis, from what I saw, compared to what I saw from Hind, I think he's got it. Why would you not play him? He's balance. A number five pick.
Balance. I'm sure it's for balance. I genuinely think. Like, well, how are we going to get Archie Perkins in this mix? Like, you've got to get him in. But how? Like, that's going to
upset
the balance again.
What about Dylan Scheel?
Dylan
Scheel. He's on our list.
Is there a world where they rest Goldie this week?
Very possibly, because West Coast don't have massive ruckman. Bailey Williams always towels us a bit, but they don't. It's not their.
But he was very poor today, Williams.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. Granted, he was against O'Brien, who again I rate, but he was poor today. Yeah.
Setters is another one because Durham and Caldwell have stepped into that big. Not so much big body, but Durham's got that sort of big-bodied midfield role. Setters we're going to find it difficult to get in when he's fit as well. But don't you love having these selection problems?
The good thing with that is, at some stage, it's going to be difficult for Durham and Caldwell to hold up this pace and this intensity that they're going at. So you have Setters there who can come in and just fill that role, which is brilliant. Which is what depth. It's the definition of depth.
And there'll be some natural attrition that will. Set in, so we'll have injuries and all those things. But in terms of this week, so Dylan Scheel, is he a chance?
Not from what I saw. I only saw a quarter and a bit. Looked okay, but Sardis was looking the premium if you're looking for a ball-winning midfielder.
Well, I think it's a great call about Goldie because, A, he probably needs a rest. B, it's a big ground there. A lot of run. See, Peter Wright's had another week, so his legs will be a bit better and he'll be able to run out the game a bit better. And Draper...
Well, 2 metre will just have to do ruck work is the only thing, because obviously he's doing it. Yeah, so... And if that happens, then I think Nick Hind, Goldie rested, Nick Hind omitted, and then Sardis and Guelphy can come in and they just shuffle accordingly.
All right,
Perkins may be available.
Yeah, but if he was available, why didn't they play him in the VFL? to get a run?
No, no, not this week, as in next week.
For so VFL or for senior?
For senior, but he'll be recovered.
Well, well, the question
next
is,
next week,
if he's declared fit, does he come straight in?
Exactly, yeah.
And I'd suggest possibly not.
It was, is there any, I mean, after a broken nose, can you play? You can still play, right? Harry will be fine.
Harry's been,
yeah.
Harry's been running around with a massive schnoz his whole life. A few extra bumps on that big hooter won't do him any harm whatsoever. Helps him sniff the ball better. All right.
The other one was Lav, went off with a late.
No, Cox. It was leg. Cox.
Cox. Went off. Sorry, Cox. Yes. That's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah, went off with some unknown leg, possible corky, but who knows with us.
Yeah, corky. And see in the future, seven-week corky awareness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. So what are we predicting? Jez, you start.
Essendon by 3 points.
Oh, I can't do another one,
no,
man.
No.
Killing me. It is killing me. Winstock 2000?
I'm nervous going over there. But I think we're good enough to find a way to win by 13.
Fiona?
Essendon by 20.
20. Ooh. Yeah, I'm worried also. Look, I might just for the sake of mozzing, I might go for a West Coast 10 points. I can't see this nice run we've had with umpires continuing in Perth. The ghost of Margetts, of Dean Margetts, will rise and that evil spectre will put a hex on us and we'll get reamed. That's my guess. So I'm going, yeah, West Coast. Did I say points? West Coast by 10. I'll settle on.
Geez, the noise will be big if they can pull off a win against us Saturday night.
They
will absolutely froth it.
They will.
Well, that's next week. And then the week after, of course, is the great big Essendon fan podcast live event, meet-up event before the GWS game. And then I was just wondering, Solution, what time you want us there and whether we have to wear anything special.
Well, we didn't plan this. I'm waiting by the phone for Scotty to call me. But no, we weren't invited, Jez. I know you grew up not being invited to birthday parties. You should be used to it.
No. This is the big Essendon fan podcast meta. Are you saying to me that the OG original Essendon fan podcast is not invited?
Well, look, I haven't spoken to any of the boys. I'm friends with all those podcasts. Who is it? It's Lunchtime Catch Up, Don Lestat, and there's one other one.
The Flight Plan.
Flight Plan, yeah. So all those guys, I met all those guys. Most, I've met at least some members of all those podcasts. We're fans of them. We're podcasts, brothers and sisters in arms. So go along. They're probably, is it for charity?
Not, no.
Or is a charity beginning at home?
It's $15 a ticket, but we all know that wouldn't have covered the correspondence appearance fee. That's why we're not there, I think.
That's right.
And I'm obviously pulling a leg because we are mates with, I don't know the Flight Plan guys, but I know Fiona knows the Flight Plan guys, and you know, good luck to them. It'll be great. Now all our listeners should get along and
agree
and support it and enjoy the festivities and see for themselves why we're the best.
Very good, very good. Yeah, no, get along. I think it's a good idea. It's a good initiative. Song of the week. Did you listen?
Yes.
I'm not putting my name to anything.
So I'm sorry, but it is a Nick Hind dig. I was struggling with creative juices, and then I suddenly Boys to Men came to mind. And what's their song, Fiona? You must like the song, surely.
That you did it to?
Yeah.
End of the Road, the classic. Yeah.
Correct. And I wanted to do the
end of the road.
But I couldn't sustain. Oh. I really needed to call on the ghost of Auntie Merle to hit those high notes, but Auntie Merle was busy. So, yes, I've done it to Nick Hind, End of the Road. It's kind of a bit of a dig at Hindy. But, mate, again, we know if we're going to be the bad boys, if we're going to be the negative podcast, the ones that aren't invited to Essendon-related events, might as well lean into it. Yeah?
Absolutely. I loved it.
Thanks. We talked 2000. Jess, you got a comment?
Oh, I just think the combination of the constitutional change and the circulation of the song beforehand might have put the Winsock 2000 under some pressure to deliver the Henneman outcome that he did today. Might have felt it was predetermined.
Do you think I led the witness? Is this what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick. We do love you. But anyway, so that's the song of the week. So check that out. Check out our sponsor, Something About Cake.
Oh, I'm getting less and less sure that I want to be affiliated with this.
Hey, my understanding is we've had some loyal Winsock listeners that have contacted you and have enjoyed your culinary delights. So check out Something About Cake. Have a look. Honestly, it's even if you just like cake porn, if you don't order anything, just hit the website. It's great. And yes, go the Bombers. Thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Right on.
You don't touch the leather, and you know that I'm right. Although you play with heart, you don't use your mind. Fall over in dry weather, you make me wanna cry. The best thing you could do, Nick Hind, is say goodbye and retire. When I can't sleep at night, 'cause you give me a fright. Dude, each time I just can't help but sigh. Pain in my head, oh, I'd rather be dead. Seeing you lie on the ground. Now Hind's come to the end of the road. We just have to let go. It's unnatural how bad you are. You belong in the twos. Now Hind's come to the end of the road. We just have to let go. It's unnatural how bad you are. You belong in the